Hello and welcome. I'm John Kurtz, Tyler Dreiling, and Mitch Fortner with me here on the game. Feels like we start this thing later and later. It's like 4:15, but we're getting rolling here on the show. Today, Brad Hill's going to join us in hour two, K-State head baseball coach, 525 for that. We've got the Cover 5 season finale later on here in hour one. That's at 4:40. You know it's going to be good because Brady gets to bust out every obnoxious thing he could possibly do after the Patriots won the Super Bowl. You can't be serious, as always, at 5:50 as well. We're going to cover some K-State hoops along the way with a little bit of audio from Bruce Weber, Barry Brown on the K-State offense, which has become fairly stagnant. And we'll examine a trend here in the open that I've been seeing more and more of in the Big 12, including last night. As always, to get in touch with us here on the show, the Game KMAN on Twitter. You can also call us 537-1350, 866-776-1350. Two games in the Big 12 last night. West Virginia beats Oklahoma. Baylor beats Oklahoma State. And the common thread there in those two games?
What?
Road teams.
Oh, yeah.
Road teams winning. Now, I realize you would put both of those teams as the favorites going into the games. Most people would. Vegas actually had Oklahoma State as the favorite against Baylor, and they darn near won the thing. But we've been seeing a lot of road teams win. 9 of the last 15 Big 12 games, in fact, have been won by road teams. And I think there's, you know, a handful of reasons for why that stuff is happening. One, teams up at the top are a little bit more vulnerable this year. We've seen it with Kansas actually dropping a game. Baylor, you know, has not been quite as good at home, obviously, with losing to K-State. And teams just don't quite have the star power that was there last year. Iowa State losing Niang and company. Oklahoma, obviously, losing Buddy Hield. Kansas losing what they lost last year. I think that has something to do with it. I think also perhaps more involved, you have better teams at the bottom of the league, so there's not as much of a pushover like going to Stillwater. That's not just an automatic W that you can ring up this year, which it really was last year under Travis Ford. But thinking about this in context of K-State going to Morgantown on Saturday, it just, as much as we talk about not being a whole lot of buzz and excitement really for K-State basketball, at the same time, I feel like this West Virginia game seems like it is more winnable than perhaps it should. And part of the reason I think that is just because we're seeing teams win road games all over the place in this conference.
And I think that's exactly how K-State wants it. I mean, I don't think K-State wants a whole lot of buildup to this game. I think that K-State does well when they are not really thought of. And I think a good example of that is what happened at Baylor. Baylor didn't really pay any attention to K-State going into that game. I think that's pretty clear by how the first half developed. And they had come off of a loss to KU in Allen Fieldhouse, and they had their mind on other things. And you can probably say that West Virginia is going to be in a similar situation. After last night's game, they get back to Morgantown at 3 or 4 in the morning. I assume they're not going to do much today. They'll get, you know, kind of a walkthrough tomorrow, and then all of a sudden it's game day again, whereas K-State had two extra days off. And, oh, yeah, West Virginia's next game after Saturday against K-State is 48 hours later at Allen Fieldhouse against KU. I think there are already going to be questions. Like, I've already seen promos on ESPN for Big Monday, West Virginia at Kansas. There are already going to be questions about, you know, how do you feel about getting your shot at the Jayhawks in their house after beating them in Morgantown. I don't know if West Virginia is going to be that involved in this game. Probably a little bit more so than Baylor was, because West Virginia has a loss to K-State already, and I'm sure Bob Huggins is going to remind them of that a lot. But if you told me right now that K-State goes into Morgantown and wins that game, I would be a little bit surprised, but I certainly would not be shocked.
Well, it's probably to me, if you would have really had me examine it and line up the three games that K-State was about to play before they played them, you know, I think I would put West Virginia as number two in terms of games most likely that they would win behind the game K-State's lost already, and that was playing Kansas at home. I think they would be there. And West Virginia is a good example and a part of a case study that you could use here in terms of how they've been at home versus how they've been on the road. I mean, they're a team that lost at home to Oklahoma. Like, they've been vulnerable already this year to the upset at home to a team that at that time was really not playing well at all.
Lost at home to Oklahoma State, too.
Bingo. And both of those series, you know, you've seen it flip-flopped. West Virginia goes into Stillwater and just crushes Oklahoma State at the beginning of the year and then winds up losing to them at home. They lose to Oklahoma at home, and then they go take care of Oklahoma on the road last night. It's just been a different kind of year in the Big 12, and so I think for Kansas State, it makes you feel better about going to a place like Morgantown. And there are certainly the added benefits that you have of the rest and everything that you were discussing there in West Virginia potentially being distracted. That does help. At the same time, you feel more susceptible to losing games like TCU at home. It's more unpredictable. The Big 12 right now seems a little bit more unpredictable outside of the fact that we know Kansas is going to win the league. Everything else just seems way more topsy-turvy and up in the air, and you've got a chance. And I think that leads you to believe that we're in for, I would think, a good game on Saturday.
I think so. And one other thing that adds to that is that West Virginia is without one of their better players. Daxter Miles didn't make the trip to Norman last night. He's got a sprained ankle, and as of yesterday was still on crutches. And they were talking about on the broadcast, and this is another example of why West Virginia may be thinking more about the Kansas game than the K-State game on Saturday. On the ESPN broadcast last night, they were only talking about his availability for Monday's game at Kansas. They did not mention anything about Saturday. They said West Virginia officials say that he may have a chance to play against Kansas on Monday. So I think that that's a good example of where West Virginia's heads may be at. The big exception to that is probably the most important guy, and that's Bob Huggins. If I were him, I would have, you know, his team sit down and watch the entire K-State tape about three times before they take the floor on Saturday and try to get him fired up that way. But from a personnel standpoint, Daxter Miles was a pretty significant loss, averaging 10 points a game, and that's not common for West Virginia with how many guys they have out there. So K-State may be able to take advantage of that.
Yeah, I think with West Virginia, it matters less individual guys being in there or not. I mean, they play 10, 11 guys. It's going to hurt them less than it does anybody else in the league. But again, they're susceptible. I think whether or not he's on the floor, they're susceptible. To me, it wouldn't make much of a difference at all. It's more based on just this pattern that we've seen in the Big 12 so far this year. It makes everything, I think, more watchable. You're more likely to tune into a lot of those games if you're an outsider thinking about watching West Virginia and K-State starting your day early at 11 o'clock on Saturday. You're going to tune in. I mean, it's more likely that you might see K-State pull off the upset, not just because they've gotten Baylor, but just because everybody in the conference has had something like that happen. And I mean, Exhibit A is just the mere fact that Kansas has lost a game at Allen Fieldhouse. That was the biggest one that we've seen of everybody here. And it came on a Saturday in which there were three road upsets by teams there. Top three teams in the league all lose at home. So it's honestly made the season probably more fun just from a general watchability standpoint in the Big 12 conference.
And I think that it contributes to the Big 12's national perception really being on the rise in the course of Big 12 play. It was so bad in non-conference play, thinking that it was only going to be a three-deep conference, and that's about all that it would have to offer. But if teams are struggling to win at home, you know, if Kansas isn't winning at home against Iowa State, that means that Iowa State is a decent basketball team. You know, if
Kind of, but then Iowa State goes and loses to Texas, you know, the next game. So it's like, are they a decent basketball team, or is this just a year where there's a lot more parity and teams are more vulnerable at home?
Let me phrase it this way. I think that it shows that the Big 12 has like 7 or 8 or 9 teams that all have very high ceilings. Okay, they're susceptible to some bad losses as well, but I mean, when Iowa State's playing well, yes, they're only a 6 or 7 deep team, but when those 6 or 7 guys are playing well, it's a really good basketball team. I feel the same way about Oklahoma State. I certainly didn't expect to feel that way about them coming into the year, but I've watched them play some of their best basketball. When they're playing well, that's a top 25 caliber team.
Yeah, I mean, I think
K-State's the same way.
Right, no doubt. I was going to say, I mean, we've done the K-State-Iowa State comparison a million times. Like, they're really the same type of team and very similar positions there. And for teams especially, I think, like K-State and Iowa State, your road games that you would perceive to be tougher become more watchable and you feel like you have a better chance, and then you got to be more nervous about all of the home games as well. You know, there's a trade-off there that not only do you feel like you got more of a puncher's chance going to playing games like at West Virginia, but then when you come back home and play Iowa State, come back home and play Oklahoma State, you know you can get beat. Mm-hmm. You know you can get beat.
Yeah, it's I'm way more worried about next week's slate of games for K-State than I am the game at West Virginia, because you're not expected to win the West Virginia game. But if you're going to make the NCAA tournament, you really can't afford to drop any more home games. And that first one up against Iowa State, it's going to be interesting to see what team takes the floor, regardless of if K-State wins or loses in Morgantown.
Well, that's definitely going to be something that we will eventually talk about when we cross that bridge. That's going to be, you get past West Virginia,
then what?
The rest of the year is going to be very stressful because the West Virginia game is the last high upside. You can play pretty free and easy, play loose, nothing to lose type of game. Everything else, they're going to be games that you feel like you should be winning and trying to pile up and regain some consistency, which has not really been there for this team all season. Up and down and up and down. We'll get into K-State's offense and how West Virginia might actually be a really good elixir for some of what's ailed the K-State offense. That's coming up at 5:10. Brad Hill, K-State baseball coach, on at 5:25. When we come back, hey, I tell you what, David Beatty should have a little bit of your attention, and I'm very intrigued by a potential big change to Major League Baseball. This is The Game.